Welcome to episode 538 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna and Anna. Overtourism is defined as the impact of tourism on a destination or parts thereof that excessively influences perceived quality of life of citizens and/or quality of visitor experiences in a negative way. Whew, that's a mouthful.
That is.
It occurs when there are too many visitors to a particular destination. The actual number of visitors is subjective to the capacity a given destination can manage without seeing detriment to the environment. Overtourism can negatively impact local residents, visitors, and the surrounding environment of a particular destination. Several cities in Europe are trying to curb the influx of too many tourists through the use of fees, quotas on the number of people, and removing cruise ships from their ports. So we're here today to talk about some alternative cities that you can visit that would welcome more tourists. So let's get started.
All right.
This is such a hard topic for me because it's such a balancing act of, like, you know, obviously the governments are putting things out there. They're allowing the cruise ships, you know, they're trying to get tourism, but then it becomes too much, you know, like, how do they find that balance and where it's not just where the cities are overrun and the locals are being affected, and
where the cities are trying to pass ordinances and the state basically says, oh no, you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember we talked about this on the podcast like 10 years ago, maybe. I mean, a long time ago, about like how Airbnb was kind of contributing to people not being able to find like housing in the cities, because people were buying up those properties and renting them out that way and stuff. So yeah, it's been around, and then, you know, COVID made the world stop, and then everybody realized how much they depended on it. But then I do think it's come back with a vengeance. I mean, it's crazy. It's like crazy how much like people
it
have been
really
traveling.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. So much. So, yeah, having said all that, so I know you have a couple of like bullet point places for like different kinds of cities and stuff that you guys might recommend, versus like some of the more, like, for example, Venice. You know, everybody wants to go to Venice because
Venice
of the canals
and Amsterdam.
And stuff. Yeah, but there's some good options if you want to go to that kind of, you know, like those kinds of cities with that kind of ambiance. So where have you guys been that they're like doing stuff like that?
Well, I mean, I went to Amsterdam, but we also went to Bruges.
Yeah.
So we, you know, it still has the, you know, the canals, the, you know, that ambiance that you were mentioning, you know, would be an alternative to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
See, I've been to Ghent and I've been to Hoorn.
Okay.
And
okay.
In the Netherlands. And both of those are, well, Hoorn especially is actually a bedroom community of Amsterdam. And so, because I actually, one of the things they were telling us is that the people, there is absolutely no industry in Hoorn.
Okay.
All the people that live there commute into Amsterdam because it's about an hour train. To get there. And so they'll commute in like once or twice a week and go into the city. Okay. But then they live where it's very quiet and very reserved. And there's not any kind of industrial noise or anything.
Us there irritating them.
Do they have, are there like hotels and stuff? I mean, did you go on a day trip or?
It was actually a river cruise. Okay. So we were there, there is some like Airbnbs and little hotels, but there is not a high rise. There's not even, I don't think, a stoplight.
Yeah. I remember going to some little ports like that on our river cruise too, that were just the cutest little towns. And it's kind of a nice thing about river cruising is those ships don't bring in thousands of people. They bring in like 100 people, you know?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't overwhelm a small town.
Now, if you really want to get a little bit more a little larger. Ghent is a good alternative for that. And that one does have hotels and things like that. And they're actually, they get pilgrims because the Ghent altarpieces are there. And so you can actually go and see, which I did. I actually paid to go see them when I was there.
That's so art history major of you.
It is very art history major of me.
That's cool. So what about like some medieval towns? There's a lot of, I'm seeing a lot of France on here. Poland, Romania. You did Romania a few years ago, Donna.
I did. I went to Sibiu.
Yeah.
Or Cebu, whatever. I don't know. It's been so long, so I can't remember how to pronounce it. But yes, it's one of those really cool little fortress type towns. And it's completely off the beaten path. They do have a living history museum there.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can actually go in and see some of these old cabins and things like that that people lived in from like the 16, 17, 1800s, you know, how the people lived.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, I'm seeing on this list there's like Hungary, Albania, you know, some of the old, the ex-Soviet countries. And I do think there's, when you go to countries like that, it's definitely different, you know, and I think that there's still a lot of good, I don't want to say deals to be had, but, you know, really cool stuff to see and history to learn. And, you know,
one of the things I noticed though, when I was in the Eastern Bloc, is that people, as far as we're concerned, I wouldn't consider them friendly. And I'm not saying that because, not that they aren't friendly. It's just that they're much more reserved. Because I was talking to somebody at a convenience store. We actually were driving, and so we stopped at a convenience store in the middle of nowhere in Hungary. And I was just striking up a conversation with them and everything, and they're like, "What do you want to know?" It's like they were thinking I was like part of the KGB or something, you know. It's like, no,
like it's fine. I'm, here we don't,
I'm just making conversation. But they don't, most of the people in the Eastern Bloc that are not in the big cities don't quite understand that that friendliness.
That I think could be a cultural thing for sure.
It is.
You know,
it is.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Because I mean, Americans just in general, especially if you're from the South.
We'll talk to anybody.
Well, I know, exactly. Like when Chris visits our daughter in London, she's always telling him to quit saying hi to everyone. She's like, you don't do that. You don't have to do that. Like, no, you don't have to go talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. You
know? But there's lots of opportunities to see some of these places. That you're still going to get that medieval feel.
Yeah.
And it's not swamped with tourists.
You know, I think I would encourage people, if you're interested, to listen to some of our episodes on Germany with Brooke, because with her living there, she's gotten so much opportunity to go to such small towns around and just see like some really cool places. Even, you know, she's in Nuremberg and they do festivals and stuff there, and it just sounds like really cool. So, definitely. I think the smaller towns is kind of the way to go because or like shoulder season. I still encourage people to do shoulder season a lot.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because I had clients that went to Carcassonne, and that's a walled fortress medieval town.
Yeah.
In France. And they went there for a yoga retreat.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
But hey, you know what? They went to go do yoga, but at the same time got to see some really, really cool stuff. So,
Yeah, that's cool.
That is cool.
What about Italy? Italy is so hot right now that is there even a place you can go in Italy that's not going to be crowded?
Not this year because it's the Jubilee.
Oh, it's the Jubilee. Oh, yeah. Yes, and I will be there this year.
It's gonna
be a little wild.
I mean, if you want to get a deal, you can't go to Rome. You can't go to Venice. Not during this year, because, or go during the summer, because there are no deals. I mean,
no.
Oh, no.
Everything's full. Everything's expensive. But if you get off the beaten path and do some of these smaller little towns, you know, down into, say, Puglia or down towards Bari or going up into the mountains, yes, you can definitely go see Italy and get really, really awesome food. And see some of the really cool things, because one of the great things is so I actually, when I was in Rome, I went to Tivoli. Now, Tivoli is about a half an hour train ride from Rome. It's this little town, really cool, and it has some of the best ruins, ancient Roman ruins. They're better than the Forum. They're in better shape than the Forum.
Really?
So what made you pick that? What made you go there?
It was part of our tour. We went to Tivoli, and we went to... So there is... That's Hadrian's. It's called Hadrian's Villa. Hadrian's Villa is in Tivoli, and you can go there, and they've got... Most of their artifacts are actually in better intact than they are in Rome, because they don't have the tourist load. And then next door... They have the Villa d'Este, which has some of the best fountains
that's cool.
in Italy. And gorgeous gardens. I mean, it's just amazing.
Nice. Do you find when you go to these smaller towns that do you have more of a like a language issue with people not speaking English as much? Because I know those big, like the big cities, I've never had a problem with people not speaking English. And I try to speak a little bit of the language, but I can usually get by and it's not a problem. But I'm wondering about the smaller places.
You find that in Italy. You find that in Germany. I found that in Romania a lot.
Yeah.
But the thing is now with Google Translate on your phone, there's so many easier ways to do it.
I don't think I've ever used it. So explain how you use it. You just talk into your phone and then it talks back? Or
well, I actually type it in what I'm looking for. Like I went to a pharmacy and I was looking for a specific drug.
Gotcha.
And I didn't know the German word for it. I had no clue. So I typed it in. It says, you just put in German to English English to German translator. And Google comes up with a little translator. I put in a little phrase and then I basically... threw my phone at the pharmacist and said, this is what I need. And she's like, oh, okay. And she took me right there and couldn't read the label, had no idea. I'm hoping it was the right
translate
thing.
Again.
But yeah, so you really have to do that when you're in some of these smaller towns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And take a phrase book with you.
That's a good tip. It's funny to me how Europe has such a smaller footprint than the United States and they speak so many different languages. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it would be like if you drove from North Carolina to South Carolina and it was a completely different language, you know,
is a completely different language.
I digress. I know. Well, yeah, that's true too. But yeah. So where do you guys, what would you recommend for like a foodie experience?
For me, Bologna. I have got to get to Bologna one day.
Is that in Italy?
It is in Italy, yes.
Okay.
Why? Is it?
The cheese.
The cheese, okay.
The cheese.
Okay. Cool.
Well, take me with you, please, because I love cheese.
Really.
I love cheese.
I actually really like doing a foodie tour in any city I'm in, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll do that anywhere.
That's
cool.
Well, and honestly, if you want all different kinds of cuisines, Strasbourg. Because that's where the EU headquarters is.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got restaurants of every cuisine, every color there.
Nice. But that wouldn't be like a off the beaten path place.
No, but it's still it's a smaller town. It doesn't get the tourist traffic, but you're still going to get really good food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they've got to feed all those diplomats that come to visit the EU.
True.
Yeah.
All right. So do you have any other recommendations if for, let's say, people like to do outdoorsy stuff? I mean, you do skiing, Donna. Do you have any like alternative ski recommendations or?
Oh, of course. So I actually got a couple of years ago that Cortina d'Ampezzo, which is actually where the Olympics was. And it's this little tiny town. I have no idea how they actually house all these people. I and it's coming up there again in, what, 2 years? But the skiing there is amazing. Anywhere, a couple places in Switzerland around Grindelwald. Then you've also got Innsbruck in Austria. And there's lots of places like St. Johann Pangu. That's in, and it's only about a half an hour from Salzburg. So you can go into Salzburg for the day, but actually stay in St. Johann. Even, and they have year-round. So you can do mountain biking in the summer. You can do skiing in the winter. You can do hiking. The food's good. I mean, nice. What more can you ask for?
Yeah. I see in the notes, cliff diving. Is anybody doing any cliff diving?
Yeah, I went and did that, and I really like it. No, but
it's a really awesome lake, whether you go cliff diving or not. There's an awesome lake there.
Lava tube. We got all kinds of fun things in the notes, folks.
I know, right?
all the adventures.
Well, and, you know, like the cliff diving, the country that's mentioned is Bosnia. You know, once again, one of those like Soviet bloc countries that, you know, you don't think of right away for tourism, but, you know, it can be, you know, pretty good place to go to kind of get away from. And I think there's places that are still trying to welcome tourists. You know, they're not as overrun as some others yet.
So yeah.
It's so hard to do that balance because you hear stories of, you know, locals getting upset. And, you know,
yes.
And you don't want that to happen. But, yeah, it's a balance for sure.
Absolutely.
Like Serbia is on here for hiking. And Sweden for canoeing. I know. I wish Lindsay was on tonight because she spent some time in Finland last year. And it sounded like there were a lot of good options there for things you wouldn't really think. You know, like you wouldn't think of Finland right off the top of your head. But she really loved it.
Okay.
And really had a good time there. Yeah. Okay. Can you go back and listen to those episodes?
I know. Nice. Gracious.
Yeah. So where else? I mean, it doesn't have to be just Europe because I know, you know, this happens in the Caribbean too, you know, like especially when the cruise ships come in. But I really don't feel like they have, I feel like they definitely want the people there more when they're, you know, the people at the ports and stuff.
Yeah.
They really want that business and want those people to come in.
Yes.
Well, I think they appreciate more the people that stay than the day trippers.
Yeah, if they come off of the resort, you know.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, you may or may not, but you can book tours and do that. Another one's Alaska. I mean, Alaska really, I think those little port towns can get overrun, especially when there's
five
ships in port.
Yeah.
And we've seen so much demand for Alaska. I'm really surprised at how many cruise ships are putting bigger ships up there, you know, and just more and more inventory up there, but maybe they'll have some more little towns.
I've always been a land person, and so I actually prefer doing a land trip over a cruise, because then you really do get to go out and explore. And the other thing is don't be afraid necessarily to rent a car unless you're in southern Italy. Then be very, very afraid.
Yeah. But someone was telling me they got a speeding ticket, and I think they were in Germany, and they got like a speeding ticket mailed to them.
Oh, I've done that. I've done that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, actually, it was the wrong way in a one-way street. But
goodness.
But wow. Don't be afraid to rent a car and actually do a road trip.
Yeah.
My parents did that in Scotland last year.
Yeah.
Sure, I think it was. They went to Scotland and rented a car and just drove all over the place. They had the best time.
Really?
Well, and they also liked the freedom of, you know, driving along and you're like, ooh, that looks really cool. Well, we can stop and check it out.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Check out this little town. Well, we can stop and we can have some lunch and hang out. Like,
yeah.
So it does give you a little more freedom and kind of do what you want to do.
And I think they appreciate those dollars coming in, because that's a family of four or five or six or whatever coming in. And, you know, they're partaking of the local restaurant, shopping at the local grocery store.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I think Hawaii is another one that renting a car is a good option, because you can really go and see like the national parks and, you know, go to the food trucks and, you know.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good point, Donna. You know, maybe a cruise ship isn't the best way to do this sustainably, unless you're on a small ship, or, you know, like pick the, you know, think about how you're picking your itinerary and pay attention to how far you might actually be from some of these cities and stuff. Cause it might say you're going to Venice, but you're not, you know, you're not really that close to Venice.
No, you're actually in Trieste. So yeah. I spent the day in Trieste when my ship came in. Cause we went, that's where we ended. It wasn't actually in Venice. It was a 2-hour drive to Venice. So,
yeah, when I did a cruise that said we were going to Paris, it was like 3 hours each way if we wanted to drive to Paris.
Oh, wow.
So we just stayed in the little port town, which was really cute. And, you know, we did a tour there and it was interesting. And then I was watching, I think it was Outlander, and they went to this port. Like, I was like, oh, I was there. I remember seeing that statue. And, you know, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of little
I've been there.
Yeah, I was there. I've been to that place. Yeah. All right. Any other like tidbits you guys want to be sure we mention before we finish up?
Well, you can also, the other thing is, so I did an itinerary a couple of years ago that was, even though it was a Western Med itinerary, we went to some places that weren't quite the super busy places. Like, we went to Cagliari in Sardinia. But we went in May.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really much open just yet. So it was still kind of quiet. You could go to the beach and it was quiet. Not 10,000 people were there. So it was sometimes just picking the time of year to go.
Yeah.
And I did a Greek cruise couple of years ago, and I went in October. It was one of the very last ones of the season. They were actually kind of closing out, trying to get rid of their inventory. So you got some really great deals on souvenirs and things like that, because they were trying to clean out for the year.
Nice.
And it was one of those last, you know, last ships. And so it wasn't quite as crazy busy.
Yeah.
That makes me remember too. I have had several people book Norway recently, and I'm seeing a lot more of Norway cruises too. So I think it's a cool, I guess, because people have done Iceland now. They want to do something similar. So
yeah,
that's a good option. So
yeah.
Or you go to that place that was hot several years ago. Like, in about 5 years, I'll go to Iceland.
Yeah. See if it's cooled down then.
Yes.
Nice. All righty. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Anna, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.